Let's pray as we come to God's word this morning, as we come to think through those words in Matthew that we just heard, words from Jesus about his followers being a light to the world. Let's pray and ask God to help us understand those words, spurred on and encouraged by them. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Father, we come this morning to place ourselves under your word that we might hear you speak to us this morning. Lord, that you will challenge our thoughts and our hearts, and you'll also spur us on as we come further to think of what it means for us as a community to shine as lights for you in this suburb. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It'll be helpful for you to have Matthew chapter 5 open this morning. We're only looking at a couple of verses there in Matthew 5. But they are fairly famous words from Jesus, aren't they? Words to his followers about being lights. As I came to consider, this passage, I started thinking, what is it that you need to do these days to stand out from the crowd? You know, what is it that you need to do or be this day, these days to be different, to really... And I started thinking through all the different areas of life and things I see on TV and all those sorts of things, and I came to consider, say, the entertainment industry. But what do you need to do to stand out in that industry? And as I watch the news and look at the newspapers, it seems that you need to have personality flaws to stand out in the entertainment industry. If you're well-adjusted and you're content, you're never going to make the magazine headlines. But if you check into rehab, well, then you have the attention of as many magazines as you want. That's one way to stand out. Not a very good way, but that seems to be the way it is. What about the business world? To stand out, you need to be successful, have the appearance of being upwardly mobile and rich, or at least the appearance of being rich. I was thinking, what about the social world? This one's a little bit closer to home for us. You know, that subculture that exists at morning teas and at cafes and at the surf clubs. What does someone need to do to stand out in that sort of scenario? Let me throw a few potentials out for you. To stand out is about how well your kids are doing in their personal or their given field of work, sort of success through association. Or perhaps how beautiful your new house renovations are, how many dollars that's going to add to the property. Or perhaps it's your uncanny knowledge to know every single little scrap of gossip that is going around and be willing to spill the beans to anyone who asks. I mean, there's lots of ways to sort of stand out in the circles we travel in, but I'm not sure at the end of the day how good any of them actually are. But when Jesus talks to his followers in Matthew 5, he tells them very simply that they will stand out. He tells them they will be the light of the world. But it won't be by following the wisdom of this world or the rules of this age, money, success, renovations, or gossip. It'll be through a community that lives and breathes good deeds in the name of Jesus. A community that lives and breathes good deeds in the name of Jesus. Now, as we come to these words from Jesus, there is an assumption. There is an assumption behind these words, and that is they presuppose that our world is in darkness. When Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," it presupposes the world is actually in darkness. In fact, that's how John begins his gospel. He writes, "Men love darkness instead of light." That is, they chose to follow their own way rather than recognize God and his chosen King Jesus. It's common throughout the New Testament in the book of Acts. Paul is recounting his commission that Jesus gave him on the road to Damascus. And Paul recalls Jesus saying this to him. He said, "I'm sending you, Paul, to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive the forgiveness of sins." This idea of the world being in darkness is a theme that runs throughout the New Testament and throughout the Gospels. Now, don't get me wrong here. We're not commanded to walk around lamenting how terrible this world is. The world is a beautiful place in many regards. If you flipped open yesterday to the Good Weekend in the Sydney Morning Herald, its main article was on travel destinations from walking tracks in New Zealand to ice-covered cabins in Iceland. The world has much beauty, doesn't it? It's a beautiful world. It was created by an amazing God and is right for us to give God thanks for it. But if we're to see the people of this world in the way that Jesus sees them, we need to see them in a state of tragic darkness, a darkness that needs the light of Jesus. Jesus says to the community that follows him, "You are the light through which I'll shine." It kind of changes your view of church, doesn't it? Changes our view of this congregation here, 8 a.m. at St. Mark's on Sunday mornings. This congregation is put on a far bigger scale than we could ever imagine by Jesus' words. As he turns to his followers and he says, "You are the light of the world." Now, the term "a light to the world," it's not unique to Matthew 5. It is, in fact, first penned in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. It occurs in the context of what people call the servant songs of Isaiah. There are several chapters which describe a suffering servant whom God will send and through whom salvation will come. If we read chapter 49 of Isaiah, it actually begins with the servant addressing not just Israel, but the whole world. He starts, "Islands, listen to me. Distant peoples, pay attention." And this chapter builds until the climax in verse 13. "Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. For the Lord comforts his people." It's a prophecy of great joy and comfort. For according to verse 6, a light will come bringing salvation to all people. Now, as we read the servant songs in Isaiah, as Christians, we see that they are pointing us to the person of Jesus. So it makes sense that in John chapter 8, Jesus claims this title from the servant described in Isaiah. In John chapter 8, Jesus says these words. You've heard them before, and they're actually up on the wall there. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now, here's my question with this text. Here in Matthew 5, standing in front of a ragtag bunch of disciples, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." But in John chapter 8, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." So, what's going on here? Is it Jesus' disciples, or is it Jesus who's the light of the world? Well, in a great gospel truth, we see that both these realities are true. You see, before we launch gung-ho into considering how our actions here at St. Mark's may shine for Jesus, we need to first stop and ask, what does it actually mean to be a Christian? To be a Christian is indeed to bow the knee before Jesus and declare him Lord and Saviour over our lives. But it's not a distant transaction, is it? In doing so, we receive the very Spirit of God. We're told throughout the Gospels, throughout the New Testament, that this Spirit dwells within us. And in fact, Jesus says in John 16 that the Spirit will take from what is Christ's and make it known to us. In other words, the Spirit's main role is to keep you intimately connected to Jesus every day, in every place. There is no doubt that Jesus is the light of the world, the one who fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah 49 and brings salvation and direction to our world. It's Jesus. But here's the amazing part. If you bear the name of Jesus, if you say, "Yes, I'm a Christian," then you are now the light in this dark world, as Jesus shines through you by the power of his Spirit. Now, I love Jesus' words here as he's speaking to his disciples. He says, "A city on a hill can't be hidden. As darkness descends at the end of the day and the lights of a city come on, they're seen far and wide. As I was driving through the Californian desert approaching Las Vegas some years ago, it was nighttime, but you could see the glow of Las Vegas on the horizon for miles and miles and miles away. I mean, you'd see the glow. You keep driving for several hours before you actually reach the city. It's a constant glow on the horizon. And Jesus' point here is that you can't hide that light. By its very basic makeup, the only thing light can do is shine. Shine into darkness. And to reinforce this point, perhaps a little bit of humor, Jesus says, "Who lights a lamp and then puts a basket over it?" He said, "No one." The whole point of the lamp is to give light to the whole room. You see, God's plan is not to create small groups of inward-looking people who bear the name of Jesus, although many would argue that's sadly what the church has become, or at least the temptation of the church to become. No, but God's plan is that His light, as His light shines into our own lives, we let that light shine out to others. We are outward looking, not inward looking. Now, this series that we're midway through here at St. Mark's is exploring how we as Christians promote the gospel. I'm not sure how you find the term promoting the gospel. It may be a helpful way, a helpful term in your thinking. It may not be of help. But what it does seek to do is break the mold that we often have of compartmentalizing evangelism as something that is separate to our everyday lives. And these words from Jesus, I think they really help with breaking this mental mold we may have. See, it's very hard to compartmentalize light. Either it shines or it doesn't. And you'll notice the lights Jesus talk about, they are broad lights. A city on a hill can't be hidden. A lamp which gives light to every space in the room. I think often when we think in terms of evangelism, we can be tempted to turn the light of Jesus into a spotlight. Let me tell you what I mean by that. That is, there are some places or some people we try to evangelize, but everywhere else we keep pretty dark. Or perhaps it might be that we treat people well if they come into our church, but outside of the church, our attitudes to being nice to them, that maybe they might change. I consider these to be spotlights. They're sort of small beams that shine. But Jesus says our light needs to be broad. It needs to be seen by all. If people walk into this church, they see the light of Jesus. If they don't walk into this church here at Avalon, they'll still see the light of Jesus through our community here. Now, thankfully, Jesus defines for us what it means to actually shine, because, to be honest, it's a pretty broad statement, isn't it? Shine like a city. What does that actually mean? Does it mean being happy? Does it mean kind of having a glowing face or being an extrovert? Well, in many respects, this is the real twist, I think, of the passage. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus doesn't say, let your light shine before men that they may hear your preaching. He doesn't say, let your light shine before men that they may be given a gospel tract. No, he says that they may see your good deeds. It's the good deeds that we do. Literally the acts of kindness or goodness that provide the shine here at 8 a.m. congregation and also here in Avalon. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't be sharing the message of the gospel, because the very closing chapter of the book of Matthew has Jesus instruct his followers to make disciples of all people, which includes teaching them, sharing the message. But the promise here from Jesus in Matthew 5 is that good deeds can be used by God in His sovereignty to bring the world to the worship of the one true God. Can you see how broad this light is that Jesus is expressing here? And it's no coincidence that the context of the passage is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the very teaching of Jesus to his followers about life in the kingdom of God, how life looks like in the kingdom of God. If you have a look at your Bibles there, you'll see in chapter 5, the teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, it sits all around these words from Jesus. Let your light shine, and then you'll see before and then afterwards, going through chapter 5 and chapter 6, we have all these words from Jesus about how to live, how to shine. And in moving through Matthew 5 and 6, and I'll just be moving through the Sermon on the Mount pretty much, I think we can be confident to say these words: the gospel shines through your reconciliation of broken relationships and friendships. It shines. The gospel shines through your commitment to your marriage. The gospel shines through your reputation of being trustworthy. The gospel shines through your generosity of your time, your money, generosity of friendship. The gospel shines whenever you care for someone who despises you. The gospel shines through your loose grip on material possessions. And the gospel shines through your refusal to turn every potential problem into a crisis. The gospel shines when you are not known by your constant worrying, but by your willingness to seek first the kingdom of God. That's so broad, isn't it? Jesus says, let your light shine before men, they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, as I reflect on these words, I think there are many times that we as Christians are tempted to reach for the basket. What I mean by that is we are tempted to dim our light, reach for that basket and put it over the lamp. And I was thinking, why are we tempted to do this? I think there could be quite a few reasons, but I want to look at one or two reasons that personally, as individuals, we may want to dim the light of the gospel, and then also one reason collectively, maybe as a congregation or as a church. Personally, I think we're tempted to reach for the basket when we forget who we are as Jesus' followers. That is, we bear the burden of shining on our own shoulders, and we just get dejected and sad when we fall short. Just go, oh, I'm never doing enough good deeds. I don't think I'm shining enough. But if we have the true nature of the Christian life firmly in our minds and our hearts, we will know that it is the Spirit of God working through us. And the difference that makes is when we feel we have fallen short, we come and yield ourselves before God in prayer, rather than just get down on ourselves and think, oh, I've got to try better next time. Or, here's another one. I think we can forget that this word from Jesus is addressed to a community. It's this congregation and this church, St. Mark's, that is called to shine like a light through its good deeds. See, when Jesus is speaking here in Matthew 5, he's speaking to a group of people. He's not pointing to one person, you are the light of the world. He's using a plural, yous, as a community, if I can say that, are the light of the world. The sole responsibility of illuminating the darkness and at Avalon does not rest solely on your shoulders, but it does rest on our shoulders. And the difference that makes is that instead of feeling overwhelmed and defeated by such a massive task, instead of that, you can actually step forward and you can say, how can I help? What part can I play in the bigger community picture of this church as we do good deeds and shine in Avalon? I'm not going to do everything. Of course you're not. But there will be a part that you can play in this community, as many of you already are. collectively, they're personal ones. They're ones where I think we go, oh, I'm finding it hard to shine. Collectively, I think as a church, we can be inadvertently reaching for the basket, so to speak, when we foster a deep desire to make this church sort of our club. That is, we don't bend or change for anyone. This is our church, so you fit to our rules. Now, our congregations, they should certainly be places where we feel accepted and we feel comfortable and we feel safe. That's the nature of God's people meeting together. But we must always be testing the light of our church. That is, we always need to be asking, are we shining here in Avalon by what we are doing? Or are we holding so tight to certain ways of doing church that we're actually putting a basket over our light? These are good questions that we must ask as a congregation and as a church as we seek to promote the gospel, to shine, to live out our faith here in Avalon. For the promise here from Jesus is that good deeds can be used by God in his sovereignty to bring the world to the worship of the one true God. And that's the way to stand out here in Avalon. It really is. It's not through your children. It's not through your renovations. It's not through your gossip. It is rather to shine into the darkness of this community through your love, through actual good deeds done in the name of Jesus. And that's the word to us this morning as a congregation from Jesus, as we meet together, and as we continue to think, how can we share this great message that we have with everyone else here in Avalon? Jesus encourages us to be a light in the dark world. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord and Father, we do come before you this morning recognizing that as you came to earth in the person of Jesus, you indeed the light of the world. You are the one who has taken our sin upon yourself. You are the one who has brought us forgiveness. And you are the one who gives direction and truth and life. Lord, as we reflect on these words in Matthew 5 this morning, Lord, we hear that you say to us that we also are the light of this world as you shine through our good deeds. So Lord, please help us to be men and women who shine. Please help us in whatever situations we find ourselves in to be living out lives that are marked by good deeds, acts of kindness. Help us to encourage each other. Help us to do this as a community as we consider how we can continue to reach Avalon in the name of Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen.